to Super Speedway.
I was debating whether to do a burnout or not. I usually don't do them, but I was really, really excited, so I did one. So that was a lot of fun. But now it's a special feeling, especially like I said earlier, when you can win here. It's really hard to do, and you have to appreciate those moments. Oh, you don't know? Dale Inman pulled me aside one day, and he said, "Hey, you don't see the winner of the Kentucky Derby get off his horse and start beating the shit out of it." So that's why I don't do burnouts. Well, I didn't do a burnout after one race, and he was like, "I like how you don't do burnouts," and then he told me that story, and I was like, "Well, I'm definitely not." He might be mad at me for doing one and breaking our rule, but yeah.
Welcome to episode 298 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. How's it going, James?
Oh, man, that's great.
That's a great line.
That's great. Yep. That's right.
I heard that. It's like, I got to pull that.
Hopefully Blaney's a trendsetter and kills burnouts. That would be even more funny about, but I like that.
I watched a TikTok today about how they need to kill the front stretch interview and bring back the victory lane interview, and I'm so down for that.
Yeah, well, you know, like NASCAR typically does, we do beat the, you know what, out of the horse.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do, and it's funny because the front stretch interview, I was a big fan of at first, but man, victory lane just doesn't matter anymore, and that's such a, I mean, James, when you get a chance to go tour a racetrack, right? What's the first place you want to go to? You want to go stand in victory lane, right?
Yeah, you got to stand out there with the people now.
It doesn't mean anything anymore.
You don't get to celebrate with your team.
Yeah, it's silly.
I know. Yeah, emphasize team sports, and then, you know, NASCAR's a team sport, and then it's just there's the driver out there on the front stretch by himself.
But yeah.
It's fine, whatever.
Yeah, yes it is. Talladega, we're coming off Talladega, James. We got lots of stuff to talk about tonight. We got a couple good Talladega races. We got schedule coming out. We got Kyle Busch selling his team. All kinds of fun stuff to talk about tonight.
Oh, so, yeah, man. We did the podcast like, what, 2 days too early last week?
Right?
Now we're 1 day just right, I think.
We got the tip, thanks to Brett Griffin, that the schedule is coming today. So we figured we'd wait one more day and get the schedule in here. I don't know. We discussed this before. And you want to talk Talladega first? You want to talk schedule first? I don't care.
You know what, man? I will go wherever your heart desires. Do you want to talk schedule?
Let's talk schedule. Why not?
Let's bang out the schedule, and then we'll, because we have Talladega itself was pretty. There's a lot going on there, so
yeah.
I guess we can go wherever direction we want. But let's do schedule.
Let's talk some schedule because it's fresh, it's new. Hopefully, people are tuning in tonight. They're going to listen and hear our take on the schedule. We did get that today. The 2024 schedule for all three series. The big news is the Cup schedule. And I guess the biggest news really is the lack of major changes. I mean, I think Ben Kennedy kind of led us to believe, and Jim Phelps led us to believe, that we're going to have a massive shakeup again this season. And we tried, by the sounds of things, we tried to have a race in Montreal with the Cup Series. And for some reason that fell through. I know that Jordan Bianchi has an article on The Athletic. I didn't get a chance to read it today, but he talks a little bit about how that fell through. And I don't know all the details of that. But so instead of that, we found out yesterday it was announced that the Cup Series is going to Iowa finally.
Yep.
They haven't raced a national series race there since 2019 for NASCAR.
Yep.
And now the Cup Series is going there.
I'm excited about that one. Just as far as I'm holding out hope that the short track package is resolved a little bit, and we'll be able to enjoy a race out there. That facility deserves it. So I'm excited about that one.
Is this just a one-off stopgap to fill a hole in the schedule that was left by California and we couldn't get Montreal, or is this something that can turn into an actual? I mean, because we're already going to Richmond twice, and we hate Richmond right now, and this track is pretty similar to Richmond.
Well, and I don't understand why we're still going to Richmond twice.
I don't either.
But that is what it is. I don't know. We weren't sure about a lot of things in the last couple of years. Like, you know, Wilkesboro, we weren't sure what that was going to look like. We weren't sure about Bristol Dirt, you know, for a few years, and then that came back. We weren't sure about Chicago Street.
Yeah.
That's coming back. So I think it's an opportunity. It's a prove it, right?
Yeah.
That being said, like Road America, I thought was a pretty decent facility for Cup Series racing, and not to say that it's never coming back, but it's, you know, still not on the schedule. And, and I think that's probably where Iowa's at. It's like a flexible, you know, flexible option for them to come in and go.
Road America is hindered by the fact that it's not owned by NASCAR. That's my opinion. Then that's what gets Iowa the date here, is that when NASCAR needs to fill a hole with something, they own this track out in the middle of nowhere that we haven't raced at in several years. Mm-hmm. But the IndyCar has, and Hy-Vee's done a great job out there. And they made that, you know, a destination race for the IndyCars. So, this may be one of those things, James, where similar to the Brickyard 400, which, oh, by the way, we're getting that back too. Similar to that IndyCar might just have an opportunity to show us up here. Cause if we can't do what IndyCar does at Iowa, at a track that our series owns, you know, that's not good. So,
Yep. Yeah. I think NASCAR and Ben Kennedy saw, what that could be with IndyCar, and I think they can even go bigger with NASCAR. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do out there. I think it's going to be a good show.
I think whatever they put in there for seats are going to sell out. Shouldn't have any trouble selling that race out. Yeah. It's not a high capacity place to begin with, and you add some temporary seats around there and beef it up a little bit, and I'm sure, you know, you're looking at another sellout there for sure. With a lot of fans who've been looking for the Cup Series, and, you know, an area that has gotten less served over the past couple of years. You know, we've cut races from the Midwest. So,
right.
I'm excited about it. I caught wind of it about a day before, it happened, before it was announced, and immediately booked my hotel room for the weekend that it was being rumored at. And luckily enough, it was that weekend. So my hope is to go out there for it.
That's cool.
I've been waiting for Iowa I was planning on going in. I planned to go the Xfinity race a couple times out there and just never got to do it. And then COVID happened and it went off the schedule. So, I pretty much was ready. As soon as a NASCAR series went there, I was planning on going out. So
that's cool.
Very cool to see the Cup cars out there. It'll be a good time.
Yep.
We mentioned the Brickyard 400. I can't remember if we talked about it last week or if it was announced after.
No, we missed it. Okay. Yeah, we missed it by a day. But I was going to say, I do have a quick synopsis of the major changes, including the Brickyard 400. I don't know if you wanted to...
Yeah, you just want to just burn it down, or you want to do one at a time?
Well, I was going to say, I can... I don't know. I don't know how we... It's, you know, Eric, what's funny about this is, like, you talk about the Brickyard 400. I think that's a major change. Like, there's a lot of... I know some of the facilities are the same, but there's some big time changes going on with the schedule, I think, this year. I mean, it is going to look a lot different.
I think we've just been spoiled the past couple of years because we've had, and we still have a new track added this year, but we've had these new places that we've never expected to be going to added to the schedule the last couple of years. And, you know, Iowa just isn't, I mean, it's a big deal to me. It's a big deal, but I don't think it rocks the fan base like North Wilkesboro or putting dirt on Bristol or running at Circuit of the Americas or any of that type of stuff.
Or reconfiguring a place.
Reconfiguring a place or closing down the streets of one of the major cities in the country and racing a race on them, you know, that sort of thing. So, or building a racetrack in an arena. So, but I mean, I think it's huge that the Brickyard 400 is back. You know, we've been calling for that. The drivers have been calling for that. It is, it's also, what anniversary is 20? Is it?
It'll be 35th, no, it'll 25th, be
30th.
What it'll be the 30th. It? It'll be the 30th anniversary because 94 was the first one, and it will be back in 24. So 30 years.
So 30th anniversary, we'll have the Brickyard 400 back, and it looks like it's going to still be the Brickyard 400, which is good. We aren't going to name it something.
I think that's going to be a phenomenal event.
Yeah, I think so.
With the car, with the way the cars are driving right now, I think that's going to be a great race.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't think this car needs banking to put on a good race.
No,
so.
On the big tracks, it runs well. I think it'll be we will be surprisingly happy when we get out there.
I predicted last year that North Wilkesboro would get a points paying race this year. That did not happen. All-star
they are
race
getting
back there. They are getting a repave.
They're...
Yep, they will be repaved before
the
All-Star race.
So we'll see what that does. But I'm glad to see the All-Star race back. I'm okay if Wilkesboro keeps that for a while. I know people didn't like the show as much this year, but again, like, hopefully NASCAR's working on that short track package, and we'll see better racing at the All-Star race.
From a competition standpoint and from a logistics standpoint, the North Wilkesboro makes more sense for an All-Star race because there's not as much room.
Right.
It's tougher to put 43 pit stalls in there and fit the cars that you need to, or 40 or whatever the hell we start for the Cup Series now. Yeah. It's tougher to fit them all in there with the Truck Series that weekend and all that, where you can do it with the All-Star Race and have some extra wiggle room. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it continue that way for a while. I'd like to make this our throwback too, and and do the throwback at North Wilkesboro for the All-Star Race, but whatever. I mean, it doesn't really matter when we do that. The throwback's kind of lost its luster anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, first of all, just to go back there again is awesome. It, as much as the racing wasn't good last year, the event itself was a giant success.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect place for it. And it brings some prestige back to the All-Star Race that has really, really suffered over the past few years.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's an All-Star Race on a track we don't race at, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, the, that facility has not put on a bad event yet.
No.
You know, I know you were at the first one. But every time they race there, it's a whole thing, yeah. You know,
they put on a great, the racing may not be the best, but the atmosphere is amazing.
Yeah.
And they've done a great job of modernizing it without killing the aesthetic of the old, you know?
Yeah.
They've done a really good job out there. So
yeah,
very cool. Yep. We mentioned Iowa. I think probably the biggest news, James, is the shakeup in the regular season cutoff and the start of the playoffs.
This is where I'm going to spend some time with you, I think.
Yeah, so Daytona loses its spot at the end of the regular season, so it will not be the cutoff race anymore. That becomes Darlington, and this is largely because of your favorite two-week stretch in the summer where we take some time off for the Olympics.
Great.
And because of that, because we didn't do a doubleheader, we had to push the season back an extra week. And Darlington is, you know, Southern 500. It's Labor Day weekend. You can't move it. So everything has to shift around it. So we lose Daytona as the cutoff, which I think is a huge bummer. Darlington becomes a cutoff. And I love Darlington as the first round of the playoffs. I hate it as a cutoff race.
Yep.
It's just not going to work. And hopefully this is a temporary thing and we go back next year or the year
after. Bob said, well, and that's the other thing. Kennedy said on his conference call that they're not opposed to moving Daytona out of that spot again. That's just Bob. Eric, oh man, this really bothers me. NASCAR gets a handful of things right every year.
Right.
And the one thing that they've nailed is that finale has been so filled with drama every single season, and they just gone and screwed it all up.
Yep.
I don't understand it. It really bothers me.
They have taken all of the excitement out of this race because now you have another chance after Daytona.
No. It bothers me. It bothers me. And they moved Michigan back.
They moved Michigan back.
Michigan's, well, but that's all because of the, obviously because of the Olympic schedule, but.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan really matters where it's at in the schedule. Honestly, I certainly wouldn't want it as a cutoff.
No.
But
you go Michigan, Daytona, and then end of the regular season. And, you know, Bob was talking about this yesterday that he was believing that Darlington was going to be the playoff cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they wouldn't screw up a good thing. No, they did. They screwed up a good thing, and they'll probably screw it up some more.
It's all freaking NBC's fault.
Well, yeah, that's, yep.
It's Junior's fault. It's Dale Junior's fault.
Yeah, well, Dale Junior told us the Roval was going away, so he's up to shenanigans.
He was wrong.
He was, he lied. and that not only that debacle, but I think this all ties together. We go to Atlanta right at the start of the playoff, and, man, we have two speedway races in the playoffs now, and that really bothers me.
Well, not only that, but you also start the season with two speedway races.
Yeah, you go Daytona and Atlanta at the start of the season. Yes, good point.
Daytona, Atlanta, and West Coast Swing. Like, my God.
After going out to the Clash. They're going out to the Clash, come back, do it all over again.
Yeah. I don't like any of those changes. Atlanta, if you're going to put Atlanta in the playoffs, I don't have a problem with Atlanta being in the playoffs. But make it a cutoff race then, if you're going to do that. So put it as a cutoff around one. But yeah, I don't, as much as I love super speedway racing, James, I don't want to see two of these in the playoffs.
No. And now we have that and two road courses because Watkins Glen moves into the playoffs. Now you've got Watkins Glen and the Roval. So you've got two super speedways and two road courses, and the percentages to me just don't add up with the rest of the schedule.
Yeah.
I don't like that. It's now it's super unbalanced.
Yeah. What do we got? One short track race and the rest are mile and a halfs.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got, you've got Bristol and Martinsville.
That's right. Bristol's in there too. Yep. So you have two short.
But But I would rather see Charlotte go back to the Oval in this case. Then, if you're gonna make, if you're gonna put Watkins Glen in there, that's great. I have no problem with moving Watkins Glen in, but we can't have two road courses then in two different rounds, just wreaking havoc on the playoffs. And then, you know, you get you what. I can't even find the words, because what you're going to have happen is somebody like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is going to go in there and win Atlanta and win Talladega, and then he's in the round of eight and has to survive to get to the round of five. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the talent gap is much closer now because you can luck your way in, right? Or guys who might not belong in the round of eight are going to get there. I know somebody always sneaks through, but man, there's a high probability that really good teams don't make it in. Like, you know, right now Martin Truex Jr. has been struggling like crazy, right? But he's struggling like crazy everywhere. It's not because he wrecked out at a speedway multiple times, right, or, you know, whatever at the road course. So it's too high a variance for my liking. I don't know how you can sell me on, like, this is a good thing for the playoffs, because I just don't see it.
Well, let me help talk you off the ledge a little bit. I think that the racing that we saw at Atlanta this year was significantly different than the racing we saw last year at Atlanta. And I think the same is going to be the case next year. Yeah. And I think the more races and the more years we get on that track, on that new asphalt, that it is going to become more of a mile and a half that has a little bit of a super speedway feel than a super speedway on a mile and a half track.
Yeah.
So I do think that, I mean, that track's going to sit for another hot summer, James, before the playoffs.
Yep.
I think that'll help it. And I think it will, I think it'll make it race better and a little less crapshooty, I guess. Mm-hmm. But no, I hate it as the start of the playoffs, period.
Yeah.
You want those. I mean, I didn't agree with taking Talladega out of a cutoff spot, to be quite honest. I think you want those races that are fluky to be at the cutoff because they create more intensity. I wouldn't want to do a super speedway as the cutoff for every single round. So I wouldn't want to do Atlanta and Talladega as the cutoffs, but,
cause technically Daytona, if you think of it the way it is right now, is a playoff race. I mean, it's the 11th playoff race. Right. You have a shot to either make it or you don't.
Well, and look at Daytona, what we saw at Daytona versus what we saw at Talladega this weekend too. Daytona is a completely different deal too. Mm-hmm. You've got Daytona kind of in the middle of what Atlanta and Talladega are.
Right.
Atlanta's even more handling and more of a traditional track with some super speedway tendencies. And then you got Daytona, which is super speedway, but there's still some handling in there. And then there's Talladega. That's just your slot cars, you know, and the only way the racing's any good is if you're fuel mileage racing, which everybody was this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think a lot of this is temporary. A lot of it's shaken up by the Olympics. Obviously Atlanta's the second race of the season isn't. That's a matter of trying to find something to run in the second week of the season.
I don't know what they're doing there. I
mean, that race has snowed out in the past. So
yeah, I don't know what they're, I don't know what they're thinking there, unless it's just an easy trip to take the, you prep two speedway cars and then you just go from one to the next and not, don't have to go back. Maybe.
I don't know. We tear them up, I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
I don't know. It's going to be an expensive, between the Clash, the Duel, and all the way through to Atlanta, it's going to be an expensive basically an expensive month and a half.
Yeah.
It's a month, the 4th to the 25th. Yeah, so that's an expensive month for these teams if they tear up the Clash, too. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we have basically you got the Clash, you got Daytona, you got Atlanta, Vegas, mm-hmm. Phoenix. And then you go back to Bristol on March 17th. So until Bristol, these teams are going to be, like, stretched thin.
Yeah, and then you go all the way back out to Texas for Coda. And then that's the funny thing. The logistics for these teams must be pulling their hair out. Because March 24th, you go to Coda, back to Richmond, Martinsville, and then April 14th, back to Texas again for Texas Motor Speedway, moving to the spring. So yeah. I'm sure they're loving that.
I will tell you what. There was... So I was listening to a podcast the other day. They had the logistics guy or the guy who helped with the schedule. What, I don't remember what the heck his title is, for Supercross. Because that Supercross just announced their schedule too. And they've got a couple of these types of rounds where they go across the country back and forth. And what he pointed out, which I guess is the same thing with NASCAR, is not only is this a stress on the teams, but NASCAR's got to haul all their crap across the country too. Yep. So they're also dealing with the same stresses. So you could imagine they probably wanted to simplify this better, but this is the best they could do. So
traveling circus, baby.
Pretty much. I guess the other big change is we see Texas come out of the playoffs. We kind of knew that was going to happen.
Yep.
Texas moves to, where the hell is it?
April.
Yeah, April. Again, we talked about that last week because the IndyCar Series lost their date, and we expected that one to move. So that's what you got. I mean, other than that, we're pretty much what we expected. We get the Olympic break July 28th and August 4th. Those Sundays are off, so 2 weeks in the middle of the season, right before the final stretch for the playoffs, Richmond, Michigan, Daytona, Darlington to lead you into the playoffs.
We go a week later this year as well, yep, because of that break.
Week later.
Yep.
Playoff rounds. Your round of 16 is Atlanta, Watkins Glen, and Bristol. Round of 12 is Kansas, which opens the round. Talladega and the Charlotte Roval, Kansas moves into that next round now. And then round of 8, Las Vegas, Homestead, Miami, and Martinsville. And then Phoenix, of course, is the final race of the regular season, or of the season. Truck Series and Xfinity schedules kind of follow it for the most part. There's really not anything too surprising there.
No dirt races across all three series.
Yep, no dirt races. No Ohio races. We lost Mid-Ohio.
Mid-Ohio's gone. Yep.
So Mid-Ohio and Eldora not on the schedule. So the Truck Series is out of Ohio. Xfinity Series is out of Ohio.
Yeah, the big changes for Xfinity, Iowa's in Indy Oval. They will race the Indy Oval, and they will get a second Talladega race in the fall.
I like
playoffs,
that.
Yeah, the playoffs include Talladega with Bristol as their regular season finale. They get a 3-week summer break, by the way.
There you go.
And they have one standalone race all season. That'll be Portland. So, yeah. Yep, everything else is an accompanied race. So that's interesting.
If you want to see the schedules, you can go to the superspeedway.com, look at the show notes. We'll have them in there. You can also find them in NASCAR and all that stuff, too. Yeah, so we finally got it. We waited all season for this schedule.
There it is.
There it is. Maybe not quite the luster we expected. Certainly some surprises. Maybe not all positive surprises, but it is what it is, and that's what we'll do next year.
Yep.
There you go.
Hey, the fact is, whether you like it or not, we're going racing again.
Yeah.
So we got a schedule. Now we know where we're going.
Yep.
And at the end, we'll crown another champion. So there you go.
Yep. Get your hotel rooms planned, all that stuff. Oh, Chicago, you know, go back to Chicago next year. Street race once again, maybe last time. Fingers crossed. Chicagoland comes back. There you go. There's your schedule. Let's talk some Dega.
Dega it is. Let's go.
Yellowwood 500 on Sunday for the NASCAR Cup Series. Ryan Blaney, as we previewed in the intro, burnout and all, gets himself the win, locks himself in to the next round, and takes what has been a pretty rough season at this point, and we kind of all counted him out, and now moves on. So,
yep, I had him out in the first round.
Yeah,
so,
new life.
Yep, there's always that one guy. Maybe he's that one guy that, like Chase Briscoe last year, sneaking around.
Yep.
And getting into the round of 8. I mean, what are you going to say? Was right there when he needed to be, set up Harvick perfectly, and took it.
Just Blaney's beautiful, just, beautiful. That, I mean, that's the thing with Blaney at these super speedways, is he's just able to put himself in a position to have a shot. And that's what you got to do. Have a shot at the end.
Yep. And I know that people think that these races are fluky, and sometimes, you know, sometimes there's, you know, fluke winner from time to time, but you don't race and win these races like Blaney and Hamlin and you know, some others without being really freaking good.
Yeah.
And Blaney's in that, he's in that, that group now. And basically, you know, this win salvages one rough year for Penske.
Yeah,
and,
it does.
Now they're continuing on, and I think he'll do well in the next set of rounds. I think he's gonna, you know, be in the fight for that fourth spot for sure.
Well, and he's a past winner at the Roval, and now he goes into the Roval with no pressure.
Yep.
So
exactly, yeah. And that's
go race
that's
for the
really
win
nice.
There, and doesn't have to worry about points.
Yeah,
we're back to points racing at the end of the stages too. So
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Kevin Harvick gets a second place finish by about a foot, and then it becomes a last place finish with a DQ.
Yeah.
Team says they're not going to appeal. Loose bolts on the windshield, apparently. Yeah. Letting some air out, I guess. Make it go faster.
Brandon Childers said they were there until the last 30 laps of the race or somewhere around there.
Yeah, sure they were. Do you want to know why Rodney Childers is such a great crew chief?
He's pretty smart.
Why was Chad Knaus such a great crew chief?
He's pretty smart, too.
Yeah, they know these areas to work in.
Yeah. Those
bolts weren't loose by accident.
No.
First of all, nothing is by accident on these cars.
Not very often.
Not when it gives you an advantage, it's not by accident.
No. And there's a reason they're not appealing either. So
yeah, exactly.
They don't want NASCAR digging into it any further.
Nope.
So.
Nope. Yeah. What else are they hiding?
Yeah, leave it be. They've been caught a couple of times this year now, so yeah. Leave it be.
Rodney Childers has been caught a few times in his career. He'll go down in history as one of the best.
He's one of the best crew chiefs of all time, but yeah, he's there for a reason.
Yep.
The reason he gets his name mentioned, so.
I wanted to mention the racing at Talladega. We got to see some three-wide racing. We haven't seen that with this package in a while. Guys on DBC said it's because everybody was saving fuel, racing about 80%. Does it matter? I mean, does it matter to the fan that we got to see what looked like good racing at Talladega?
I thought it was good racing. I don't care how they raced. It was good racing.
Seemed like you could make moves.
Yeah.
Better than in the past, anyway.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And this is the problem with the good race poll, because you end up...
I hate the good race poll.
Yeah. Sorry to say this word. It's a bastardization of the entire weekend. It's just summarizing what you think you saw.
Well, and it also is so much influenced by who wins.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. And I just... I don't know. I mean, this was a good race. I don't care how it got done. The racing was... I mean, it looked like Talladega. So. Yeah. I don't want to hear any excuses about it as to why. I don't care if they were fuel racing or not. It looked like Talladega. There was moves that were made at the end that led to a great finish, and there was a bunch of mistakes made in the trioval that caused some stuff.
Let's talk about that trioval mistake, James, because Brad Keselowski kept saying, well, you know, Carson Hocevar didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong there.
Yeah, it's Carson Hocevar didn't.
Yeah, Brad, you're the one who hit him. I mean, I get it, but you hit him. You hit him in the trioval. Yeah. What do you expect is going to happen?
I think what's happened to Brad in recent years is he has overconfidence in his abilities.
You're right, I think.
I consider him the best in the business at this type of racing, but he's got a couple of notches on his resume now that say, you better... chill out, man. And I don't know why he blamed Carson the way he did, but
he didn't blame Carson. He blamed Carson by not blaming Carson.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, in a roundabout way, right? He Austin Dillon was not happy about the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, for anybody who
Dillon hasn't been happy all season. So.
No, he's had a rough go of it for a while. And Brad, you just don't push there, I don't think. And I watched that replay a bunch of times to see if anybody else was pushing in that area at that moment. And he is the only one who came up on Carson pretty hard and paid the ultimate price for it. I mean, they were all wiped out, but
I mean, for one, you don't push in a turn, which the trioval at Talladega is more of a turn than the turns because there's so little banking there. I mean, the banking in the trioval at Talladega is the same as the banking in the turns at Michigan.
Right.
So, and you're doing 190, 195, 200 miles an hour there. There is no grip. And as soon as you get that contact with these bumpers, which are, they don't line up, they're curved, it's going to turn you sideways. And then you do it. Mm-hmm. Ignore the fact that Carson wasn't handling great because he wasn't. But you do it to a car with a yellow bumper. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, there's not much you can do, right? Carson didn't really... Again, this was Brad's mistake.
Yeah, there's nothing Carson could have done there. It's not his fault. He was put in the position.
Brad was just over aggressive.
Yep.
And he's done it a couple of times now. It's kind of on his, like I said, it's on his resume. This is something he's done, and can't do anything about it now. It's over. And that sucks because he was in a pretty good spot in points. If he just has a good day and he won a stage and he's still above the cut line. But now he has to go where he's not great. And he's going to have to fight off Tyler Reddick at the Roval. And I just don't know if that's going to be a winning advantage for Brad. Luckily, he did win that stage because he's, you know, he's still above the cut line, but not where he wants to be. I'm guaranteeing that.
Yeah, we got a couple guys that are going to be pretty desperate at a track they're not real great at this weekend. Brad almost joined the Ryan Preece Frequent Flyer Club. Is that kind of got airborne?
Yeah,
he's kinda real lucky it came down.
Yeah, when the tire popped, it picked up. Which
that's
because
there's so the air. It's a wing under the car, and so as soon air changes,
any little bit of lift,
yeah,
you know, even when the tire popping allows that air to get in there, it just allows them to hook a little bit.
It lifted way easier than it looked like it should have.
Oh yeah.
Looking at the playoffs, we got Tyler Reddick on the outside looking in, Bubba Wallace on the outside looking in, 2 points, 9 points out. Ross Chastain, Kyle Busch also looking out.
Kyle has to win.
He almost has to win. I mean, he has to have a great day and have somebody screw up or win the race.
He's got to overcome four guys.
Yeah.
And it's
Kyle's not moving on. Sorry. It's not happening.
No.
Chastain, I don't think, is moving on either.
No, Ross was having a decent run, and got caught up in that end of the stage. What, the 47 ran out of gas, and they all bought it up, and he got definitely the worst of it.
Bubba tried to race Talladega like it used to be, and went to the back and ended up 9 out.
Yep.
Which is a bummer for him.
Kyle Larson was in really good shape, and then he spun at the finish line because everybody got a little chaotic. They were coming to the line, and I think he lost about five or six spots or something like that. So I think actually he's in pretty good shape now looking at it. He's just got to go and run mid-pack basically all day, and I think he can handle that.
Yeah, I think Reddick Keselowski is where you're going to be really looking at a change. I don't expect Bubba to get in there.
I'll say it too. Truex.
I mean, if Truex has a Truex type of day, then...
Well, what type of day are we talking?
The current
regular
Truex.
Season?
The current Truex.
Yeah, the current Truex? Yeah. That guy creeping through this playoffs the way he is bothers me. It's starting to bother me because he's been bad. But we'll see. We'll see. He almost won the inaugural race here, so coming to the role. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see a whole heck of a lot of change, but we do, you know, we do at the Roval from time to time. We see some changes.
Christopher Bell is 22 to the good. He's probably okay. Denny Hamlin's 50 to the good. He's in.
Yeah, Denny's fine. Busher's fine. I don't think Busher's going to have a problem here.
No, unless he has trouble, Busher's good at road courses. Yep. So I expect him to finish top 10.
Something crazy might happen. But Tyler Reddick's the one to watch.
Yeah.
He doesn't even need to win. He's just got to go score a bunch of points and he'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he's definitely going to be racing for points this weekend. If they race for the win, they're crazy. They need to win stage one and stage two and then see what happens.
Yeah, if he's got an easy shot at 10 stage points right at the end of the first stage or something, he's going to go after him. And I think Brad's got a race that way too. I think Brad's got a points race.
Definitely.
Try to steal points.
Definitely, because he's not going to win this race.
No, he won't win, but they've got a good road course program. So I think if they can get him decent enough to score points, I think they'll be okay.
It'll be fun. I like the Roval, so I know you're not a fan, but
yeah, we're kind of doing our preview now, which is weird, but
let me pull up. I didn't pull up the actual results from this race.
I was gonna say, what'd you think of the? At one time late in the race, I wanted to ask you about this. The Hendrick cars were like gangbusters up there, and Byron made some interesting decisions that kind of broke them up a little bit. But they were all four second to five at one point, and I thought, because Byron's already locked in, I thought for sure he'd just kind of sit behind Larson, and it looked like that's kind of what they were doing. But then he pulled out a couple of times, and then Hamlin got his lap back, and all of a sudden he was freaking up there, and it just got a little bit hectic. And I thought the Hendrick cars would stick together a little bit more, but I noticed that the what seemed to be team orders were a little bit out the window, a little bit, even with the Toyotas.
You know, it's funny because it's like that stuff happens, and then everybody just kind of like overthinks it, and now they can't get it to work again.
I think Denny admitted to overthinking it a little bit.
Yeah.
And he, you know, obviously he had the speeding penalty, which set him way back, and he battled back all day.
I don't understand why these guys didn't just, and I mean, I guess you're in the car, so you don't necessarily see these trends, but I don't know why they didn't just run the second lane. Just never get out of the second lane, because what happened is that second lane would get to the front, it would pass that inside lane, and then they'd drop down to the bottom, and then they'd cycle back, and the next guy would do it, and the next guy would do it. It's like, why in the hell do you guys keep dropping to that bottom lane? Just stay up top.
Yeah. Well, and part of me wonders, too, like, you know, in the case of Byron, right, this is maybe the best example. Like, do you really want your teammate to have a good run here?
Right, yeah.
When it's Kyle Larson? Like, so maybe, you know, maybe there's a little bit of gamesmanship there. I don't know how you explain that to Rick.
Right.
But
you deny it. That's how you explain it to him.
Yeah, because if Larson's not around in the next round, you're in pretty good shape. So that's tough. I don't know how these teams manage that. And like Denny Hamlin's situation, you know, he's so far ahead in points. It's hard to say what he's doing, but he's obviously, you know, trying to get as many as he can.
He did a lot of pushing that 23 car when he could.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he definitely was. He definitely was.
Corey LaJoie gets himself another high finish on a super speedway track, finishes fourth, although he was involved in that wreck at the end.
All those guys right there, LaJoie, Cindric, and Haley, all good speedway racers.
Riley Priest rebounded from his wreck at Daytona for an eighth place finish
in the Wonder Bread car for Ryan Priest.
Yes, that was good. Riley Herbst, man.
He had a good day.
Riley Herbst is feeling to me like one of those. He's feeling like Carson Hocevar, but he's feeling like one of those guys that is wasting his time in the Xfinity series. Like he might be a better Cup driver than he is an Xfinity driver.
Yeah, I buried him last week, and I owe him an apology. He had a really good run.
I mean, a super speedway is one thing, but he seems to be doing pretty decent in that Cup car.
Yeah, it's an SHR prepped car for that team, but
means it'll be prepped real similar to that 10 car next year.
Somebody's got to sit in that seat, right?
Somebody's got to sit in it.
Yep.
Let's see. Anything else?
There was a moment where a couple of moments where the Old Spice and the Wonder Bread car were together.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. I don't care what anybody says. It's still, I don't care. It's good.
I saw Ryan Preece do the interview before the race too, where he was holding his hands up. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. They did a good job.
I'll take it every time. Yeah. I'll take it every time. I don't care.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't get cheesy.
No, never.
I mean, it does, but it's great.
Yes.
You love it.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
All right. Anything else out of Talladega? William Byron's still your points leader, 28 points over Denny Hamlin. That doesn't matter. We don't care. Ty Gibbs, highest finishing rookie in this one, 34th.
the only finishing rookie.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Riley Herbst could count, but he's not really running for rookie points. But.
Yeah. It's ninth victory in 301 Cup Series races for Ryan Blaney.
Yeah.
I think Ricky Allen mentioned during the race that Ryan Blaney last week celebrated his 300th win. And if you listen to Dale Jr.'s podcast, Jay Jr. says you don't celebrate, or 300 starts. He says you don't celebrate 300 starts. You don't celebrate until you get to like 700.
That's what I tweeted about the podcast last week. I said, just like Dale Jr. says, we don't celebrate milestones because we're coming up on 300. Yep. We don't celebrate milestones. We just want to see racing.
I mean, we did do a live episode for 200, but that's all right.
We certainly did. Yes. Nobody remembers that, man. Nobody's around for that.
I know, right? Third victory and eighth top 10 finish, 19 races at Talladega for Ryan Blaney. So
there you go.
Pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah.
Truck Series were in action on Saturday. There was a race and a pretty good brawl in that one. That Brett Moffitt won the race.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call that a brawl either. And all the playoff guys were like bunched up in the top eight.
Yeah.
Except for a few of them there, but.
Brett Moffitt sneaks a win away in this one. His 13th victory in 93 Craftsman Truck Series starts.
And also, I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm looking at the wrong statistics. So, I'm going back to make sure that I have the right page open on Racing Reference, James. Look at the right page.
So I had plans on Saturday, and I watched the race. I started watching the race before I had to leave. I watched it live. And then I stuck it out through the green, white checkers and ended up going to what I was planning and going to late because I wanted to see the end of the race. So I saw Brett Moffitt finish across the line and I left. I mean, I shut the TV off immediately and walked out the door.
And you missed the show.
I missed the show, but I got to catch up on it afterwards. So let's talk about the show. Matt Crafton, Nick Sanchez, first of all, have an accident on the track, and then it turns into, I don't know what you want to call it. Nick Sanchez called it a sucker punch. There were some doubts as to whether that was actually the case. Matt Crafton put a big, long explanation on Twitter claiming that that wasn't the case. I don't think we've seen the beginning of it, so we really don't know for sure what happened. We saw the
bloody aftermath.
We not know the result. Two things, you know, obviously Nick Sanchez pretty banged up, and probably not a great take to yell, "I'm going to kill you," afterwards, you know? So, and as a result, we got some fines, suspensions. We were wondering if Crafton was going to get suspended. But Craftsman gets a $25,000 fine for his actions, and Sanchez gets a $5,000 fine. Sanchez's father, who was also involved in the mess, has been suspended for the remaining two races of the 2023 schedule. Yeah, I think the best part of the whole weekend or whole incident, though, was the interview with Sanchez after the fight when he was all glued up, and the frontstretch.com asks him, "Well, what happens at Homestead?" And he starts to answer the question, and the lady behind him says, "Oh, we're not answering that." Pulls him away. It's like, yeah, we're going to keep our mouths shut about Homestead after that threat. Yeah. So let's talk about the accident first, James. I don't know your take on it, but I think Matt Crafton is the one who's at fault for this accident.
I was curious to where you were going to fall on this, because I've been struggling with the whole thing.
He left it open.
He did.
He left it open. He left a lane. There was a lane there.
Yep. And in today's NASCAR racing, if there's a lane, you're going to put your car there, or your truck.
Yep.
Here's the other problem I have. Not only is Crafton, I think, to blame for the accident, but he drives, and I know he's been around a long time. He drives in a developmental series for young up-and-coming drivers for the most part, right? That's what the truck series is.
Yep.
You can't complain about young drivers making young driver mistakes in that case. You can be upset with them, and you can talk to them about it, and you can probably put your hands on them at sometimes too.
Yeah.
And that's the role of Matt Crafton in the series, but you can't expect them to drive like you when they don't have the experience of driving like you. Crafton's been in the series for dang near 20 years.
Yep.
Yep, you can't. I have a problem with it. Like, you can talk about racing etiquette all you want, but you're driving down there with these guys. That's on you, man. That's on you for being down there.
James, what was more egregious? What Nick Sanchez did to Matt Crafton, or what Brad Keselowski did to Carson Hocevar on Sunday?
Oh boy,
wasn't much different, right? I mean,
no, I mean, it's not really that much different.
One guy turned another guy.
That's a great point.
So, and
a great point.
And Carson, I mean, obviously, Hocevar is in a different situation, but Hocevar is not swinging at Brad. He's saying, "Yeah, it's super speedway racing. That's what happens."
Yep.
Now, apparently, there's been run-ins with these two before, so this isn't a fresh. I mean, this isn't new.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that's been building, so that adds a little bit to it. I think, you know, a lot of it was largely blown out of proportion too, because there was blood and we don't usually see that in a fight.
Yeah.
And you know, again, yelling, "I'm going to kill you" at Homestead, also brought some little extra attention to it.
I also don't like that it happened at that point that it did.
Yeah.
That far after the race was already over and you're in the garage area.
Yeah, and he's in street clothes. I mean, Crafton's in street clothes.
Yeah, he waited on him, man. I don't like that.
Yep.
I mean, you got a problem with the guy, go talk to him. Don't sit around and I don't know. That's premeditated and I don't know. I just
What do you think of the penalties? You happy with the penalties? I don't think you can suspend somebody. I think the precedent's been set that we don't suspend for fights.
Yeah, you're right. That's the hard part about this too. This feels more like assault than a fight.
Yeah, but again, we haven't seen the beginning, and you know, for one, that there were more cameras around, so likely somebody got the beginning and we just haven't seen it. And also NASCAR has cameras in the garage as well. So there's probably more video that NASCAR can look at and see how this started, which obviously Sanchez wasn't innocent. I mean, maybe he was just fined $5,000 because of saying he was going to kill him. I guess that's possible.
Yeah.
But he was fined too. So NASCAR obviously thought he did something wrong.
Right.
So, And obviously his dad being suspended, that's not surprising because NASCAR pretty much is, it's like hockey. The third man in is getting in trouble. You know, you're not allowed to be the third man in. You're not allowed to take a shot or swing or whatever if you're not one of the main two guys involved in it. So
right.
We've seen crew members get suspended before. We've seen that happen before. So that's not surprising. But I think we need to see more of this to know. Again, Crafton had a nice long explanation. And if you take Crafton's word, then he didn't, it's less egregious, but I don't know if you can take his word.
Right.
So I, what it comes down to, and I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, Crafton's so much older than Sanchez, he shouldn't be swinging. Like, these guys, they're both adults and they're both racing in the series. You got to stick up for yourself if you're going to race in the series, whether you're a kid or not. So I'm not in that, but Crafton is the experienced veteran and Sanchez isn't. And so there's also, I think, some grace that needs to be taken there. But look, I can't say that I wouldn't be pissed off if I was Crafton. I'm sure he was, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You just, you can't wait around on a guy and sock
handle
him.
Handle it better than that.
But hey, at least he didn't wreck him on the racetrack. You know, at least he didn't use his car as a weapon at Homestead. He went and took it to him off the track, which is what we say they should do, right?
And I'm sure NASCAR has said, these trucks better not go near each other.
These cars come within 10 feet of each other at Homestead, and NASCAR is going to be all over it.
There's going to be a problem.
Yep. So it'd be interesting. Be interesting to see what happens. I think it's over. I think Crafton probably will regret what he did. I think $25,000 is an appropriate fine. I don't think it's going to hurt him any. But it does get his attention and say, you can't do that. Gets everybody's attention, says it's not allowed to go quite that far.
Yep.
And there you go. So.
Yep, just a little too far.
Yep.
A little too far.
Scary incident with Zane Smith. Spins on pit road, hits his own pit crew member. Jeez, I can't talk tonight. And
How's
I mean,
that any different?
I guess it's pretty normal. I mean, did a lot of damage to the car, too. Like, it was a solid hit.
Oh, yeah. That dude's a beast.
No
that pit
kidding.
Road. Yeah, man, that was awesome.
I mean, yeah, it just reminds you how freaking dangerous this is. You know, these cars are going slow, they look like, on pit road. But if you ever stood on pit road, it's highway speed, man.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's scary. Course.
Yeah, I can't believe the damage that was done. That whole thing was nuts.
Yeah. Anything else with this, with the truck series, James?
No, I think that's about it, man.
The fight was the big thing, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right, let's talk some news. We already talked about the schedule. We'll hit real quick on, we mentioned Carson Hocevar. It was announced today that Carson Hocevar will finish the season in the 42 Legacy Motor Club Chevrolet. Not surprising there. It's kind of hard to put anybody else in that car. It's got to be a Chevy driver at this point because it's a Chevy team. But you're not going to put anybody in there that would like get ready for next year because it'll be a Toyota team then, so you can't put John Hunter in there right now. And Carson's doing a good job there, so might as well get him the experience. I mean, there was talk on DBC, like maybe the reason that they've turned around at Legacy a little bit is that Chevy made a deal with him and said, here's some data. Let's put this kid in the car and get him ready for next year.
Possibly. I mean, Eric Jones is driving the daylights out of that 43 right now. I mean, he's up front all the time.
Pretty much when Carson Hocevar got in that car, the team got good. I mean, so.
Hey,
but
if it helps them in the long run, that's great.
It's kind of hard to believe that Chevy would still give them data, but I don't know. Who knows? It's hard to say.
I just think, you know, Eric, when Brad Keselowski took over at RFK a year ago, almost 2 years ago now, the start of the 22 season, when did that team start clicking?
Yeah, you're right.
Three quarters of the way through the season, right?
That's a good point.
And Buescher started to win, and that team started, you know, like the vision was starting to come to fruition, right?
That's a good point. You get that ownership change. It's going to be a little rocky at first.
Yeah,
and then everybody gets in the groove.
Exactly. I think the people are in place now. They're humming along. You've got a really top-notch driver in Jones who's starting to, you know, see some success, and I just think that team is coming together a little bit very nicely. I expect that team will, I mean, Jones should win races next year. I think, you know, I believe that wholeheartedly. I you know, he's overachieved in that 43 for a couple of seasons now, but now you're really seeing it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, putting
I have high hopes for them,
putting him on a level with the other Toyota teams, he should have a pretty good shot next year, have a win or two.
Yep.
So okay. Big news of the week, prior to the schedule being announced, and probably still the big news of the week, is that Spire Motorsports has bought KBM. Kyle Busch, no longer Truck Series owner at the end of the season.
That happened quick, huh?
Yeah. Like the rumor was out the day before, and all of a sudden the next day it was sold. Kyle will race 5 races for Spire Motorsports next season. I mean, Spire Motorsports just paid $40 million for a charter.
Yeah, they got stuff going on, huh?
And now bought a truck series team and all the assets to KBM. Yep. I think it was DBC again that said, you know, Spire made Kyle change his mind.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It was a year ago that Kyle said that he was going to finish his career in the truck series and for his team and turn the ride over to Brexton. It was a major part of the RCR deal that he gets KBM as part of it. And now it's sold. That's just incredible.
Yeah. Spire, they've got deep pockets apparently.
Yeah.
To make a lot of big moves.
And they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. This is an interesting one. I don't know. Like Legacy and RFK, they're spending all of their resources in the Cup Series. This one's interesting.
Yeah, but they need some development. I mean,
they do. They've got big plans, right? So, yeah. Yep. Yeah, this is.
I mean, it's not like you're going to use the development from Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity Series or whatever. You know, you're going to have to build something somewhere because those Chevy drivers got to come from somewhere, and Junior's going to send them to Hendrick.
So. It's nice to see, or Stuart Haas.
Right.
Yeah. It is nice to see, though. This is a large investment in NASCAR, and Spire's not going anywhere. I hope to see them, I hope to see them improved in a little bit. But from the Kyle Busch side of things, you know, I think you're seeing the next iteration of Kyle Busch all coming together at once. They're selling. I think they're in the process of selling their mansion in North Carolina. They sold their New York property. They're downsizing. Kyle Busch is downsizing, but also getting paid pretty handsomely for it. So, you know, this is a full investment into Brexton, I think.
Yep.
And I think Kyle's pretty happy with his development and he knows he's going to probably have a future somewhere. So maybe he doesn't need to have KBM to launch his son's career.
Yeah. I mean, Childress already guaranteed Brexton a contract, right? So he's going to go there.
Yeah. And the owner of Spire Motorsports, I don't know how many people know this. Jeff Dickerson was Kyle Busch's agent for many, many years. Kind of as Kyle grew in the sport, he was always there with Kyle and then kind of branched off into ownership. So there's definitely, if I had to guess, there's definitely some, you know, long-term plans in place.
I would imagine.
For Kyle. Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, investing in Brexton. I know Kyle posted on social media Brexton was in like a micro sprint or something this week for the first time, and the kid's moving up, and that's. I mean, I honestly think that's becoming a large part of Kyle's focus.
Yeah, it's his next phase of his life.
I think that's why he's not as grumpy. It's not just because he got away from Joe Gibbs Racing. It's not just because he's got new scenery this year. I think it's because his priorities are different now, you know?
Yeah. And he's got some more freedoms, it seems, you know?
Yep.
Richard Childress Racing is maybe a big breath of fresh air for him and allows him to, you know, he kind of can see it now. He's out of the grind. He doesn't have the Toyota partnership. You know, remember how big of a deal that was?
Yeah.
A year ago, like, what's Toyota going to do with the truck series? And blah, they let Kyle go. Well, Kyle might have been going anyway. Yep. So, you know, the way it's looking.
Yeah, interesting. Did you see the rumor that that Dale Jr. is going to buy into Stuart Haas and relieve Tony of some of his duties and switch it over to Chevrolet and become a cup owner?
I'd be okay with that.
Would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
That would be great.
Just to, you know, tell everybody that I don't remember where that rumor came from. It was,
let's call it, nobody, Earnhardt Stuart Haas.
Nobody important that made that rumor, but still, it'd be pretty interesting.
I'd love to see him go back.
Everybody wants to see Junior in the Cup Series, and
I know he just doesn't want to do it. He just doesn't want to do it.
No,
he's looked at it, but he just can't do it.
He doesn't. He's got. It's hard to crack that wallet open, man.
Yeah, and he's got young kids and. He's doing just fine. He's got no pressures, man. He's got a great Xfinity Series team. He gets to call races in the booth. He's fine.
That's another thing with the Spire deal, too, by the way, is I believe that Spire is moving their shop to KBM.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Which, if you've ever toured the shops, KBM is a pretty nice shop for a truck series team.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Junior Motorsports is a pretty nice shop for an Xfinity Series team.
It's like Denny Hamlin with 2311. Like, they are in the process of building a behemoth right yeah. now.
You know what I want to know that? The most, though, James? What I'm the most curious about?
Yeah.
Where are the sweep cars going? Because Kyle has all six of the sweep cars, the Bristol sweep cars in his shop.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's not getting rid of them, but where is he taking them?
He's probably got somewhere there. He's got he's got a garage or something somewhere. Like,
will Richard let some Toyota sit in the RCR museum?
Well, have you ever seen Toyota? Well, he might. Well, though he might. Well, maybe not. Well, RCR museum's pretty big.
It is.
So maybe. Have you ever seen? So I'm sure you've seen Tony Stewart's. He's got a massive garage, and all of his cars are in bubbles. So I'm wondering if Kyle has cars in bubbles in a garage somewhere like Tony does.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's got these big plastic bubbles around all of his cars.
That's funny. No, I actually haven't seen that.
Okay, yeah. There's old videos of him on YouTube with talking to Jeff Gordon, things like that. He's got it's all yeah.
Well, there you go. There's your news. Unless anything broke while we started recording this.
No, I'm trying to think of anything else, but the schedule. You know, everything was creeping out all week after we recorded. Like Brickyard came back and. All this other stuff. And
tracks wanted to make announcements before the schedule was released.
Well, and we knew, and all of a sudden it's like, crap, we recorded and then it's all basically covered with the schedule. So we're good.
There you go. Charlotte Roval this weekend will not be the last one. As Junior found out this week, we'll be back there next year, but get to preview this one. We talked about it already a little bit, what to expect this weekend. We have the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series in action, the Bank of America Roval 400 for the Cup Series, the drive for the Cure 250 for the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Charlotte, and looking at picks from last week, I was able to gain on you, but not much, only 3 points.
Brad kind of messed me up. I was pulling for him.
Still 174 point lead for you. You've already penciled in Tyler Reddick as your pick. Sorry to spoil that for you.
Well, you already used him, so I'll take him. I'll take him.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take Clyde then. I'm going to take Chase Elliott. I feel he's got to get some points for the owner's championship. So
did you hear about, Jeff Gordon?
No, jeez.
Jeff Gordon's been on the prowl.
Yeah.
And how the owner's points should matter a whole bunch more.
No, of course. Of course.
Oh, gosh. He did that, and then he talked about how drivers shouldn't for Hendrick Motorsports shouldn't conduct themselves like Denny Hamlin. which I was like, "Well, Jeff, like like Denny's trying to build something there and you already own a team. So I don't like Jeff's already in with Hendrick. So I don't know.
Whatever, Jeff.
I don't know.
Pipe down.
he was all in a tizzy. I was surprised.
Oh, I didn't put the wrong driver down as mine. That's not who I want.
Yeah. You don't want William Byron. You already used him.
I think I did. Chase Elliott. How'd fantasy go? I didn't look at fantasy this week, James.
Oh geez. Well, it's Talladega, so
yeah.
A lot of people. But our buddy Baron Speedway got back in the winner's circle. Nice. So that was good. Give me just a second as it takes its time loading. Always does this to me whenever I... like when I need it most, it really takes its time. But nobody had Kevin Harvick in their lineup, so that didn't help any of us at all. So any of us bottom feeders like myself. But yeah, Baron Speedway got the win. It was low totals all week. Don't think that anybody who dominated. Baron Speedway also back in the top 100, by the way.
Nice.
So if we can get him to finish in the top 100, that'd be great. Hot Rod Todd second, Freight Train third, and tied for third is Tandem Draft Tona. Eric, you were right in front of me. You had 131, I had 129, 9th and 10th. Yes, buddy's at the bottom. Let me see here. Playoff standings, just for fun. Three-time champ passes me. I fall all the way to third. Three-time champ, then Baron, then me. All separated by 10 points. Freight Train, he's 1 point behind me. So playoffs are up for grabs, just for fun. And then the standings that really matter. Baron Speedway, 62-44. He's in first. I drop from second to fourth as three-time champ slides in. Tandem Draft Tona goes to third. I go to fourth. So the battle for second rages on. It's a 19-point difference right now between second and fourth.
There you go.
After a whole season. So we're going to go down to the wire.
All right. Shout-outs. I wanted to give a little shout-out today to James. I made a purchase today.
What'd you do?
I think I shared it in our group chat.
You did? I'm just trying to lead you in. we're trying to make radio magic here.
The World of Outlaws Sprint Cars game finally came out for the Nintendo Switch. So I jumped right on that. I actually waited a day. I think it came out yesterday. So
nice.
Got it today. It's
have you played it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. A little nervous at first because I'm like, yeah, I'm setting it up, and I'm like, yeah, expert. I mean, I'm good at this stuff, and so I cranked
not
everything
the
up.
Races, man, I can't do that.
So I cranked it all the way up, and I hit the gas. I ran a midget first, and I hit the gas, and it just immediately did a donut. It's like, oh my god, you need to counter steer so much with this thing. And so I turned,
because iRacing's involved in that too, right? iRacing helped make that, yeah.
Yep. So I turned it down, and the other problem is with the Switch, which is what I was worried about. I wanted to wait for it for the Switch because I really don't play my PS4 anymore. It's hooked to the computer that I'm sitting on right now, but I just don't play it very much. I want to have something I can take with me and sit on the couch and play it or whatever. So I was waiting for it to come out on the Switch, but the Switch doesn't have analog buttons. They're just, you're either on the gas or off the gas, on the gas, off the gas. Yep. And like with NASCAR Heat and stuff, it was rough because you'd hit the brakes and it'd lock the brakes up because the game wasn't designed for that controller. So I was worried about that. But yeah, I tuned the settings a little bit and turned it down, so I'm learning, and I'm already ready to crank it up a little bit. I won a couple races. I ran like 3 or 4 races today. It's pretty good. It runs really good on the system. I haven't played it on one of the bigger, better systems, so I'm not sure graphic wise how it compares, but it's pretty darn good on the Switch. So doesn't have any lag. There's no jitterness or anything. The menus will lag a little bit here and there, and the load times are slow. But once you're on the track, it's good to go. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, well, I got eliminated from the round of 8 in NASCAR Heat 5 recently, so.
Nice.
Yep, crashed at Texas and couldn't win Martinsville to get myself back in, so.
I was
video gaming not too long ago either.
See, I can't play the NASCAR games on the Switch, like, to do a season or something like that because, well, first of all, because you can't do a damn season in the game because.
That's not good. I mean, it's a hot mess.
You can only do a career, but because the controls are so wonky that it's fun to play on to kill some time, but it's not worth really actually putting the effort into finishing a race on season. There's certain tracks you just like you can't race a road course on. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
So it's pretty much super speedways and some good mile and a half where you don't have to hit the brakes.
Yep.
Any shout outs for you this week, James?
Yeah. Well, you shout out a video game. I'll shout out what I saw. I'll kind of stay on the theme. There is a rumor circulating around and some images that NASCAR's coming to Forza Motorsport 7, and it's got me got my interest piqued because it was pretty good when it was on the last Forza Motorsport. So, but that was a while ago now. It's been a minute.
Was it on Forza or Gran Turismo?
There was a Gran Turismo version. I think that was a little while ago, but yeah. This is
I didn't know it was on Forza because I've never been an Xbox guy. So
yep,
I do love Forza. Like every time there's Forza a demo.
Forza's pretty good. Yeah, Forza's good. It's just it's been a minute since the Cup Series has had some representation. But it's a pretty good game. If you're gonna console game in Forza's is almost
Forza
as good
was
as you can do.
Like the good Gran Turismo.
Yeah, I mean they were and they're pretty comparable. But yeah. There's different versions of Forza too, where there's the Horizon version, which is like really cool open world game. Which I've played before but it comes to Game Pass and I'm like, if I have to upgrade my Xbox, I might have to think about that.
Well, you know what you should do, James? So this is what I was looking at. I was just at Best Buy a week ago and I was looking at the ROG Ally, which is the handheld basically PC. And you can run all those Xbox games and stuff on it. And Forza was on there. That was the demo they had on it actually at the store.
That's cool.
That's what I want to get because you could run iRacing off that thing. You could hook it to a monitor and hook the peripherals to it and you could run iRacing off of it. But it's like $800 still. It's like, man.
No, I know.
But I mean, it's $500-$600 to get a PS5. So like, it's ridiculous.
It's terrible.
I don't play it enough. I just bought it.
I know. That's the problem.
I bought an iPhone 15 Pro and that supposedly will have console gaming. So I'm good to go. Right.
Yeah. I saw that. I saw people playing it as a console. Yeah. They had it plugged into their TVs now with the new port.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's USB-C, like, hey, cool. Man. Apple's all excited. It's like, we got this new port that we've never seen before. Android's like, yeah, you guys, we've had that for years.
You guys have limited yourselves by your own making for years. So,
right?
Yeah.
Jeez. Apple's had the damn port on their computers since the before the port was even anything, and they still put it on their phones until the EU forced them to do it. Anyway, any black flags this week, James? I don't think I have any, so.
I don't think I have any this week. Although you've been given the, you know, I'm going to come after you for just a second.
Oh.
Yeah. You still give Lions fans crap on Facebook. And I'm going to have to unretire.
Well, it's fun.
I know, but it's only fun for you. You drive everybody nuts.
It's good, though. Yeah, but no. Dude, I'm a Bears fan. You guys have so many opportunities right now.
Yeah, but can't you just let us have one?
No. You know what the best part is? I'm actually enjoying the season and watching them win, but it's still so much fun to poke fun.
I know, but it's just fun for you. It's not fun for anybody else. You're doing more harm than good.
It's a lot more fun when the Bears actually don't suck, but they're so bad.
They're so bad. You're a dumb team. I can't even, I don't even know what to tell you about that team. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah, you keep coming at the Lions, man, but I'm telling you, just let it be, man.
Well, I can't like openly cheer for him because then everybody's going to accuse me of being a bandwagon jumper.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck now. Yeah. You're in trouble.
Yeah,
I've that to yourself.
I've made my bed. Made my bed. Got to lay in it.
Yep. That's funny.
James, where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
Oh, at James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find old episodes of the podcast, show notes, photos, etc., all on there. The podcast can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Wherever you found us today, we hope you subscribe and continue to listen. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway, you can leave us an audio message, and we might just play it on the show. Off to Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend. It is the Charlotte Roval, Bank of America 400. Ready for some sort of road course racing. We'll be back next week to break it all down and talk about the next round of the playoffs. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.